This advert I used to see on CNN then, of the Lexus GS300. That was when it was new. And it was interesting. You know why? They described a perfectly bad day. They say, maybe you drive to work, then drink bad coffee, have a boring and sick management meeting. You know, you describe everything that's wrong with the day. And I say, drive home. Not a bad day. That is the only good thing that happened that day, is drive to work and drive back home. The next Lexus, GS300. What I'm saying is that no matter what kind of day you had, you understand? Listen to the word of God, not a bad day. You understand the logic? So at the end of today, it has to have been a good day. Do you understand the logic? Yes, that is once David said, I rejoice at thy word like those that find great spoil or great treasure. That is those who have gone to the markets, they have done serious business and they've made hundreds of millions of naira. He said, that's how I rejoice when I hear thy word. That's what he was saying. You understand that? That is whatever bad thing that's happened in the day, it's good. The whole day is good when I consider the fact that I received that word that day. Now, before I start today's message, I want to just tell you something. You know, the Lord is good. You know, it is good to give. It's good to be a giver. I'll tell you why. Say, spread your bread on many waters, you understand, and then you will find it again. I think, you know, the 18th of May, 1997, actually a few weeks before that, around that season, months before that, I was having this serious hunger in my spirit and my soul for the word of God, and I wasn't getting it. I mean, I had books, I had tapes, I used to go to different churches. But then I went to go around those seasons, at least early, a few weeks before that, 18th of May, I went to eat in a restaurant inside Luth, Didas. And there was this mags they used to, well, like newsletter they used to put around there, teaching letters actually, called Covenant Letters. So I picked one and I read it, and it was titled The Gospel, I think The Light of the Nations. I was really blessed by that short exhortation. After that, of course, I looked around at the, I looked through the newsletter looking for the address of whoever wrote this, and I don't know how they mistakenly did that. They didn't put an address on it. So I asked the guy serving there, one of the waiters, where do you get this one? He said, oh, that the owner of the place brings them around. I said, please, anytime you get another one, let me know. And that day I came, weeks later, to eat there again. I came with a friend. And I saw another copy. This one, Manna, Food of Champions. And then I read it again. I was really blessed. This time around, this one had a stamp on it. Number 400, Herbert Macaulay Road, Yaba, Lagos. So I said, fine, I'm going to look for the place. Now, it was just before my part one fellowship exams, postgraduate. So I gave myself some time. And then one Saturday, I decided to go and look for that place. And after I left Luth, I didn't have a car. I had to go by a bus, jump from one bus to another. After I got to Ojuelegba, now when I got to Ojuelegba, one bus driver decided to run from a traffic warden. And maybe Satan felt that, okay, this will be the opportunity to injure this guy. I'm serious. I was right in front of him when he gave his engine full throttle. I was right dead in front of him. Thank God for his spirit. I'm very awake. I noticed it. So, I could only take one step to get out of this. I needed to give my muscles full throttle to get out of the way. You know, when you run, your arms swing. You understand that? So, my right arm swung backwards as I was taking that leap. To tell you how close it was, one rough edge of the bus cut the arm of my shirt and ripped it off. That's how close it was. So I looked. Of course, you know, the traffic warden used the opportunity to catch the guy, and I wouldn't find it easy with it. I just entered the bus and sat down. The driver and the conductor came down. You know, Lagos drivers now, they were going, oh, guy, Jema, Binu, the momo, she, you know. They were prostrating and begging. I sat down there with my hands, my head in my hands. What I was thinking was, what is the cause of this? Now, that meant I may toss it from very high up. I couldn't roll it. You know, I had to go back to my place. I just concluded that there must be something important. This was a Saturday. I was going to look for the place again Sunday, so I would have it ahead of time, you know. That's, anyway, the way people treat the word of God sometimes, I don't never show them sympathy because I feel like, look, I know how I used to do to get this word taught to me. I used to wake up at 5 a.m. so I could leave Luz by 6 a.m. to get to Yanopaja by 7 a.m. to get to attend the first service in Winners Chapel. It takes 3 buses to get there after trekking a great distance from my apartment to Mushin early in the morning. Anyway, so that's what I did then. I went back home. I thanked the Lord. I said I'll go back on Sunday morning. Sunday morning, I dressed. It was a rainy day, I remember. It was wet. And I was wearing white, something like what I'm wearing now. You know, not this design exactly, but it was white. It was pure white. So I was stepping gently. You get my point? Stepping very gently so that I won't get muddied, you know. I won't have mud all over me. And I go to the church. I finally found the place, maybe around 9:30 or so, past 9. I found the place, entered the place, one nice little church. And first thing in my mind, I smiled. I saw the pastor, oh, young man. I laughed further in my heart, like, oh, look at these young boys from university. Yeah, they are doing ministry. Praise God, praise God. That's what I was thinking. And then the man began to preach. Now, before I tell you what happened, well, I've told you before if you've been listening to him for a long time. And we started, when he came up, he said, last week we were talking about this matter of the new creation in Christ Jesus. And when I hear new creation, I feel like, it's somewhere between Kenneth Hagin or E.W. Kenyon, Kenneth Copeland, and Coda. You want to preach to me? I admit I've heard it before. But 5 minutes into the message, I was literally shaking. Ah, this man preached a word that I didn't know was possible to distill from that Bible. I looked at my Bible like, what? That was the person I was referring to last week. Like, what is going on here? The guy preached, I'm not joking, this is not figuratively speaking. I was twisting in my chair. I could hardly sit straight. To get some ease, I bent my pen. I don't know whether it snapped or it didn't. I threw my Bible on the floor. I couldn't hold it anymore. I tapped the guy in front of me and said, please, is this being recorded? He nodded. I was on second row. So the guys in front were workers in the church. He said, yes, it's being recorded. So I dropped my book, dropped my pen, dropped my Bible, so I could hear the thing full blast. He preached for about 2 hours, 15 minutes, or 2 hours, 20 minutes. I was glad when he stopped so I could breathe. Now, why am I telling this story? Oh, God, that was the greatest message I ever heard. And I still think so. Do you know why? I said it's good to give, right? Now, I've been looking for the tape for some time. Like, I listened to that tape until I could almost recite it. But I've been looking for the tape for months now. This was 1997. That would be 10 years next year, all right? Then, yesterday, I was going to go to Newi. So, normally when I'm traveling alone, I like to take messages I listen to that will keep me company. So I went to the stack inside my study on the shelf on the wall. So I just looked through some tapes. So I was looking for this same man's tape, Pastor Bojo Yemade, that's his name. And that's where it starts. I was going through the tapes there. Then I saw one tape. It looks very strange. Never seen it before. But the title was this message I was looking for, The Inheritance Inside the New Man. Then I saw on the tape was written Ufoma, that's my wife's name, and was written in my handwriting, the title and her name. Then I got the point. When I met my wife, it was one of the earliest gifts I gave to her. I had not seen it since. So the tapes were, we arranged the study once in a while. I had packed the tape somewhere. I didn't recognize it from a distance because I couldn't remember the tape. But anyway, cut a long story short, I found the tape yesterday. That was what made yesterday a good day. For me, it was a good day. I listened to it twice. As soon as I entered the car, it showed the tape inside. Drove to Newi, rejoiced. When I was coming, held the drivers on the road. I said, this guy is not mentally all right. Because after some time, I removed the tape and put one tribute to Andre Crouch. We had, an old tape, had it for some time. And, you know, there was one particular track there. I was just dancing away in the car, you know, shaking my head, popping my fingers, and running and over-speeding because when you're under such, you understand my point, the thing was pumping. So, of course, you can be sure that last night what I did was to convert it to digital format, and I brought two copies today. You understand my point? So, let's see who will be the... I'm telling you, look. I plan to send it to the pastor and said, the best of Pojo Yema. He has never, as far as I'm concerned, he has never preached a message that good. My wife said, that's your opinion. I said, yes, my opinion. I'm expressing it. He has never preached a message that good since. Ah! It's loaded. It's loaded. It's out there. It's one of those messages that transformed my life. Oh, I remember telling you about the fact that I was wearing white, right? When I was coming out after church, it was wet. I was just stepping anyhow. I didn't care at that point in time whether I got dirtied. Even if I fell in gutter at that point, I wasn't going to be bothered. If a bus passes by, I splash water, I say, have fun, my friend. I have no problems. That's why I remember that I was wearing white. I got back home and started telling everybody that heard, that cared to hear, that Banky has found a man who is pumping the world at full throttle. I really believe strongly that Satan, allowed by God, wanted to find out or wanted to hinder me. And God said, let me see whether you override this hindrance that Saturday. I said, no, after that day, I knew that this my life is not an easy life. I mean, like, it's not an average life. It is a powered one. You follow my point? And that was serious. That day was a serious infection with the word of God. I listened to it yesterday again. No, forget the fact that I was reliving the feeling of 9 years ago. It was 18th of May, precisely, 1997. I heard the word again. If I was getting new insight from the thing I was hearing yesterday, when I hear things like, there are three phases in life. He said, there are three things that are needed to succeed. One, light. Two, affliction. Three, glory. You know, inside the car, I will scream again, wow! I was driving alone. Then the guy would talk, say things, you know, quoting somebody, he said, after God blesses you, that is, there are four stages in life. Number one, God takes you. Number two, God blesses you. He said, after God blesses you for the first time, then he lays you aside so that self-confidence might die and God confidence might be established. You know, I'll shake my head again. Like, this is good. Listen, don't miss it. I brought just two copies. There are two CDs. They are very long. I mean, in fact, they didn't record the whole thing that day. The whole thing was not recorded. The guy in the tape department wanted to shoot him afterwards for not having the full version. Just recorded the first 1.5 hours. So there's 1 hour, 30 minutes. It's out there. All right? So I just want you to know that I'm a blessed man. And those are the things that caused me to be blessed. Do you follow my point? Yeah, God has ordained it that his nature inside us, the overcoming nature, is powered by the infusion of the word of God. You know, my wife and I were discussing today, you know, sometimes you hear people talk and say, no, me, I don't enjoy reading these books. I said, enjoy. Who's discussing enjoyment with you? I mean, am I taking you out to dinner that you should be enjoying it? Are you getting my point? We're talking about empowerment for overcoming. Have you ever heard that the soldiers say, I enjoy training? When we don't sleep at night, we are jogging all night. I enjoy it. Who talks about enjoyment? We are talking about something you take because without it, Bishop Oyedepo will say, you are not alive. Are you following the point I'm trying to make? What is enjoyment? Man, if you can eat, then you can buy a tape, buy a book. Are you following what I'm going to say? If I have a rule, then if I've never seen you buy a book, I won't lend you one. Do you get my point? Except you can prove to me that you are so poor by coming to me to borrow the book barefoot. You know that one would be good. You can prove to me, okay, I don't even have money to buy shoes. Then I know that I should lend you a book. Are you getting my point? No, really, it's a serious. I'm just telling you what I experienced yesterday. It was good. It was good. Was good. So I want you to partake of it. All right? There are messages that turn your life around. I remember in 1990, I listened to the message, The Gospel of Abundance by Bishop David Oyedepo. I'm looking for that tape also. And that one, I will find it also. You know why? I gave out, I'm sure, I can't count. I know, I'm not ashamed to say it. I infringe copyright on such things. I keep making copies and distributing it everywhere. I mean, those are messages that change your life. All right. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. Now let's go into our own message for today. And just to put a break, anyway, before that, let's maybe we should read a few portions of the scriptures, then we'll pray, and then we'll go on. Let's start today by reading from Ezekiel chapter 47. Last week, I began to speak about the issue of the light of the world. That is what God has called us to be. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He that follows me will not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. That is the light that produces, that produces life, he was saying. Then after that, he now said, while I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Meaning that when I depart from this world, I am no longer personally the light of the world. But like we said, that God always creates a body. Jesus said something. He said, lo. He said, sacrifice an offering that thou hast not desired. He said, but a body thou hast prepared for me. That is, before God does anything on the earth, he prepares a body. So for the workings of Jesus Christ, even in today, that is this season, this part of eternity, God also prepared a body for him. And that is what is called the body of Christ. So what Jesus was saying is that for me to have effect on the earth, he said, while I'm in the earth, I am the light of the world. But then when I'm no longer in the world, then you are the light of the world. And that's what the Bible calls the prolongation of the days of Jesus. We read that from Isaiah chapter 53. All right. And then all of us doing our portions, doing our assignments in life, are making manifest the effect of the fact that the days of Jesus are being prolonged, which means that, like Paul would say, nobody should say, who are going to the heavens and bring him down. You understand? The word is nigh thee, even thy mouth, the word that we preach. What means that Jesus doesn't have to come down from heaven again. He has enough empowerment, power with people on the earth. And he said, greater works than that which I did, they will do. What does that mean? The dead can still be raised. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? That is, the sick can still be healed. Jesus has not yet left. All right, his days are being prolonged in the body of Christ. And what's important that for Christians to understand is that they are in life on special assignment. When we started this series of teachings in this particular venue, when we launched this every Saturday 5 p.m. teaching that we do, that now we have cataloged close to 200 messages. What the first series of teachings we did was titled Man on Assignment. And everywhere Kingsley has had the opportunity, he has called me to come and talk on man on assignment. I spoke on man on assignment in UNEC to was it law students or professional students? And then I went to law school to speak on man on assignment. I wonder where he's calling me to next to speak on man on assignment. But it's important Christians understand that they are really on assignment on the earth. That there are things that God wants to do on the earth, and spirits don't do anything except a body is prepared. Are you getting what I'm going to say? And what God does anytime he wants to do something is to first prepare a body. That's what we're establishing. Now, so last week, we began to speak on that subject, the light of the nation. So the light of the world. Now, let's just read this. Ezekiel chapter 47. Ezekiel was speaking from verse 1. He said, then he brought me back to the door of the house, and behold, water was flowing from under the threshold of the house toward the east, for the house faced the east. And the water was flowing down from under, from the right side of the house, from south of the altar. Now, please, because of time, I don't want to read everything, so we'll just go to the areas that are most important. So it was describing how the water was flowing. It measured 1,000. The water was reaching to my ankles. Verse 3, it measured another 1,000. It reached to my knees, and then another 1,000. It was reaching the loins. Then in verse 5, it now said, it measured another 1,000, and it was a river that I could not ford, for the water had risen, enough water to swim in. Excuse me. All right. Now, this is what I want, this is our emphasis here, from verse 6. He said to me, son of man, have you seen this? Then he brought me back to the bank of the river. Now, when I had returned, behold, on the back of the river, there were very many trees on one side and on the other. Then he said to me, these waters go out toward the eastern region and go down into the Arabah. Then They go toward the sea, being made to flow into the sea, and the waters of the sea become fresh. It will come about that every living creature which swarms in every place where the water goes will live. And there will be very many fish, for these waters go there, and the other waters become fresh. So everything will live where the water goes. Now, let's just say a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for the beauty of these words, for gathering us here again today. We know you have heard our prayers that we offered earlier, and we know that your spirit is poured forth, my tongue is flowing your words freely, and the ears and hearts of the people listening are absorbing it rapidly, and their lives are being transformed into that image of Christ, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, so last week we began to speak about this matter again, but in reality, we have never stopped speaking about it. You know, I was referring to a message earlier. You know, that was when I heard the pastor Paul, you say then, and I heard him other times in other messages say it, that usually there is one thing that God is speaking to you at each point in time, that you can understand many things mentally. You follow my point? That mentally you can understand many things, but usually there is one demand that God is making upon your life for you to obey. And obedience to that, he said, is called the righteousness of God. And that reminded me of something that I preached. You know, when we say that faith, the Bible says, is substance of not things hoped for, but a particular thing that is primary in your life at that point in time. That the faith of Abraham was not much described by how he lived every day, many other matters, but according to the birth and the future of Isaac, the faith of Abraham was described. Are you getting my point? So what I'm trying to say is that I have observed, listened to many of the things that we have said, listened to words that are coming out, not just from here, but from other places, that it appears like what God is saying again and again is that arise, shine, for your light has come. Are you getting my point? That is, he's asking Christians to take their positions in life. I was somewhere the other day, and somebody told me that, a friend, he said that he checked some of my messages on the website. We're now discussing. He said that I said that Christians are supposed to, in quote, take over. He said he doesn't really believe it, that this world is not our home. I said, listen, it's either we are doing that or we are not doing anything at all. Do you get my point? Then you have to ask yourself, what is the purpose for your existence? What are you supposed to do? The Bible says very clearly that there are kings that are lords that are with him. You understand my point? That is, when he says Jesus is the King of kings and the Lord of lords, he was not saying he's the king of the president of Nigeria, the president of Ghana, and the president of America. That's not what he was saying. He was saying that there are many people in authority that have subjected their authority to the Lord Jesus Christ. That is, amongst kings, he is a king. Are you getting the point I'm making? You know, I bought Economist this morning, and I read this news again about the one man, is it Prosevano or something, one Italian mafia don that they had been looking for about 43 years. They finally found him, and they called him the Capi. No, I don't know the Italian very well. You know, that this guy is the boss of all bosses. Are you getting my point? What it meant is that the whole of the mafia in Italy, you understand, if the man utters a word, every other mafia boss responds. For 43 years, they could not find him. Are you getting my point? They finally found him last week. Now, I'm using that to explain a point here. That when the man was called the boss of bosses, that is, the people under him are bosses. They control different arms of the mafia, different geographical distribution of mafia. In the same manner, Jesus is the King of kings. The people that he presides as king over are actually rulers in their own right. Do you understand the point I'm trying to make? And that's what he said they should do, to arise and take their position in life. And that's what we are discussing. That, you see, God does not ever work, you know, I said it before, what we call miracles. He doesn't enjoy working miracles. He does it as, you know, like critical point, rescue, you know, before things just scatter. Let's just offer them a small antidote. Then let's hope they wake up to their responsibilities. That's what God does. He doesn't just go around distributing manna from heaven all the time. To the children of Israel, you enjoy that rare privilege for a few years. After that, you go and plant and you harvest. You understand? You till your ground. I will water it for you, but you have to wake up every morning planting. You have to occupy, Jesus will say, until I come. You understand what I'm trying to say? That is, you have to do business. You have to dominate in business. And every time Jesus gave people talent, he gave them money to invest. What he said, what pleased the master, was that they were able to bring forth much fruit from what he had given them. God, the only man who sustained and lost nothing, you understand my point? He was thrown into the wrong side. He said, this is what you gave me. I didn't lose it at all. He said, is that so? You think that's what I was looking for? For God, profiting is a critical matter. That is, life, you must always increase. Paul was speaking to Timothy. He said, give yourself wholly to these things. He said, so that your profiting will be made evident to everybody. Are you getting my point? That God's plan is that his people profit. They increase. They increase so much that they dominate. He said, have dominion. I mean, that was a straightforward commandment. Have what? Dominion. Don't be dominated over. Go and read the story of the children of Israel. For them, anytime they are dominated over by other people, it was a sign of the judgment of God because they had sinned. Are you getting my point? That is, you dominate Israel. Then Israel sinned. Israel sinned. They needed to sin. If they didn't sin, nobody could dare it. Are you getting the principle? That is God's order. You know, Christians are supposed to arrive. Look, the solution to the problem of the world. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Anytime there is a problem, the real solution is found in Christ Jesus. And he said that that's while I'm in the world. He now said that you are the light of the world, talking to his disciples. That is, when there is a problem, Josephs should be called. Remember our story about Joseph? Joseph should be called to profess solutions to the problems. That's what we are saying. And we said there is a spirit in man, and the inspiration of the Almighty gives him understanding. I paraphrased last week like this, that there is a spirit in man, and the inspiration of the Almighty gives him ideas. You know what I'm saying? You get the point? That is, God inspires something into him. Maybe let's just continue from there. So what he was saying here is that, you know, Jesus was referring to this. He said, anyone who believes in me, as the scriptures have said, out of his belly will flow rivers of living water. And we said this is what he was referring to. That is, and if you look at the description here, the angel was speaking to Ezekiel. He said, you will notice that everywhere there is barrenness, there is fruitlessness, this water flows in there and it begins to bear fruit. Are you getting the point? That is the job of this water. From inside him, something begins to flow. Last week I explained, I think we read from 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 20, when, of course, in the context, Jehoshaphat was going to battle, and the prophet has spoken, believe in the Lord thy God. No, the prophet said that you will not need to fight. So Jehoshaphat now told them, believe in the Lord thy God, you will be established. Believe also his prophets. What will happen? Then you will prosper. You will succeed in what you are doing. So we said that that was a dispensational statement. That is, you could understand that statement considering the dispensation. That the Bible said in Hebrews chapter 1 that we read, that in those days God spoke in diverse manners. How? Through the prophets. But he now said, these days he speaks in his Son. Are you getting my point? That is, anybody who has the Spirit of Christ, there is something inside him that God is saying all the time. And how do you know a man who is of faith? A woman who will succeed in what he or she is doing in life. That every time you face challenges, you don't go around looking for a prophet, give me a word. You should know that out of your bellies will flow rivers of living water. Are you getting my point? And listen, if you don't expect it, it will not flow. But if you just turn in there and say, there is something here that's supposed to flow, listen, it will begin to flow. Are you following my point? You know, my wife and I were discussing the game today, and you know, we're discussing many problems, you know, in the country. You know, like about cyber cafes who start, they are very fast. Then after a year, they are slow as they can be. Then eventually, they eventually close down and you move to another one. So we're talking about one of the problems that they have is that power failure is a serious problem. That they spend so much money generating power to sustain their business. So he said, those are the things that people now see and now say the country is bad and they run away. You understand my point? Then I now realize that Pastor Paul, you said something. Another of his tips, which I also discovered among the ones I dashed my wife, I discovered it again yesterday. I told you, it's good to give. You know, what you give, eventually, I come back to you. All you young men, start giving to many women. I'm telling you, your life will be blessed. No, I saw that tape again. In fact, I went to her and said, because the writing on it had faded. So I said, please, can you read this? I said, out of... She just looked at it and said, out of your bowels. I said, you mean you could read it? She said, I know it. I know how to read it. Once she said out of, I knew the tape. Now, in that, I was listening to it again yesterday. And in that tape, Pastor Paul, you said something. He said that anybody that runs away from a country like Nigeria because of pressure, and it is not by straightforward divine commandment, will return frustrated. Now, he said it. He said that the reason is because when that there are challenges everywhere. He said, for the first 2 years, you seem to have settled. Then challenges will arise. Because you are not one that can overcome them, you begin to run again. That you will always be on the run. Are you getting my point? What was he saying? He wasn't saying people are not supposed to go to places. He said, but if you are running because of challenges. No, we said something last week that the Bible said the one that God gives a crown is what? To him that overcomes. That is, if the man has not overcome a challenge, he is not an overcomer. Therefore, he gets no crown. That crown is prepared only for whom? Overcomers. That is, the challenges are never enough excuse to justify running. Are you getting my point? That when you describe the great men, the men of David, the only reason, have you noticed the only way they describe them? Said there was a, what's it called? Maybe Eleazar, son of Dodo, you know, all those kind of names. That there was a day, that's the description for him. There was a day that the Philistines invaded a portion of Israel and everybody ran. And he single-handedly stood and defended a field of beans. And that day he fought so hard that at the end of the day, they couldn't remove the sword from his hand. They would describe a man who went after a whole band of Philistines and then another day jumped into his pit on a day that is snowed to fight a lion. I was trying to analyze it because that analysis is a bit confusing. That those three men that they described were the three people that when David said, oh, I wish I could drink from the well, I said, is that you want to drink? They broke through the bands of the Philistines to go and fetch water. The only reason they knew them was they had these regular obstacles called Philistines that they always overcame. Are you getting my point? Listen, we discussed some time ago about what we call God's champions. That is when God wants to solve a problem, he sends tough men. Are you getting my point? That you see, it's only the cowards that pull back before because things are tough. That you should have understood that it's your opportunity to show yourself strong. That is, God indeed is in my life. You know, I was preaching the other day in church about, I will discuss it here before, about how God is described. That God doesn't have a proper name. You can't say, what is his name? Like Jehovah Witnesses go around going, say, he's going around saying, his name is Jehovah. Say, what? Say, yes. The day he was born, they baptized him and said, your name is Jehovah. So don't call him any other thing apart from Jehovah. Now, they don't say it literally like that. You understand my point? I'm just trying to add salt and pepper to what they say. All right. Now, but the truth is that God's name is not like that, really. He came to Moses. What's your name? He said, I am. Are you getting my point? He said, I am what I am. So what do I tell them? He said, tell them that he is. That was Derek Prince said. What the Hebrew was saying is that he told Moses, I am. So go and tell them that he is sent you. Derek Prince was analyzing the Hebrew. I was listening to one of his messages many years ago. Now, this is what I'm saying. So, Miles Morrow was explaining that. He said, what does he mean? He said, what he was saying, in effect, is that I am. Then you fill in the blank, depending on what you are doing at that point in time. So, when you are thirsty, it becomes, I am the water of life. You understand my point? That his name is always I am. That when you have any problem, you need a house, I am Jehovah, the house provider. You know, it's always I am. I am is empty until you get to a particular situation. Do you understand my point? That in fact, you know, I was studying the other day. No, it's important we understand. Maybe we should discuss about the name of God. I think we should settle down on it. People have discussed the names of God before. No, I'm talking about the name of God. Names of God, Jehovah this, Jehovah that. Look, those are plenty of stories. God said, my name is I am. What do you mean by I am? You describe me according to what you need me to do at each point in time because I am the Almighty. You get my point? So, Miles Morrow was explaining that. So, when you get to the time that men are hungry, said, this is the bread of life. Say, I am the bread of life. Are you getting that situation? You understand what I'm trying to say? So, I was talking about the name of God. I noticed something once. I was just reading my Bible and I came down to Isaiah when he was speaking about the encounter that I am. What's the name of that king that was supposed to die? Who gave birth to the king called Manasseh? Hezekiah. Hezekiah got a letter that was threatening them. Which god of all these gods that has ever helped anybody against me and all that? So Hezekiah now took the letter to the temple and went and prayed and said, God, see. Then I noticed something. God said, because you have talked to me about this matter. Do you know, that was when my own study stopped. That God said, because you have brought the matter to me, that these other people will have started making phone calls. Do you follow what I'm trying to say? God said, other people will have started calling other kings, will have been sending their emissaries to places that take this gift, go and give to the king of Ethiopia, tell him to come and help. Take this gift, go and give to the king of Egypt, tell him to come and help. He said, but Ezekiel, you didn't do that. You ran in and discussed the matter with me. He said, because of that, this is what I will do to the king of Assyria. Ah, I said, this is revelation. You know what I'm trying to say? Revelation. That is, anytime I have a problem, now what would be the first thing I do? I turn into God and say, hey, see, they have said, everybody has said this, and this is now, dear Lord, I am committing into your hands. God said, because you have decided that I will be the one to handle it for you, watch out. Are you getting the point? That is, because you have not started chasing a visa because they say Nepal has taken light, watch out, your business will not collapse. You are getting the point. That he is whatever you need him to be at each point in time. But what do we do with our tongues every day? We start complaining, the country is bad. Not this country. It's useless. So, you know, politics, this man doesn't want to go. He wants to be in service. Vice president, he should be sacked. He should complain. That's why business doesn't work now. It's double taxation. Are you getting my point? Are you forgetting what God told Jeremiah? Jeremiah said, I am but a youth. And God said, do not say that this, I am tired of hearing you repeat the reasons why you cannot do what I want you to do. Go to Jeremiah chapter 1. The man said, I cannot speak. I am but a youth. God said, do not say it. I'm tired of hearing it. What do you need to say? Anything I command you to say, just go and say it. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? But Christians go around grumbling and complaining and talking everything that God doesn't want to hear. I think it's an assignment we should give ourselves. Stop discussing things that God does not want to hear. Why can't I succeed? We got a problem in the country. God said, have you discussed it with me? Then stop saying what the problems are. What do I want you to say? Let's get back to our message. We'll see the things that we are supposed to say. Now, where were we in this message? In fact, how did we get to where we are right now? All right. Talking about the central message. Not only from here, but you know, everything I've said, I've listened to it again and again. What God is saying is that if this earth, if this world, if this nation is going to have any hope, it will be because the light that God has placed inside there has arisen. You get my point? And is now shining. You follow what I'm saying? Now, so, last week, we're now discussing about that issue, about there is something inside that you are supposed to believe. Believe also is prophets. But we read from Hebrews chapter 1, that his prophets then spoke in diverse manner. That's where God spoke. But now he speaks in his son. That is, there is a spirit of Christ inside everyone that has believed. Are you getting my point? Everyone that has believed, there is a seed of God that dwells inside him. And that's what Jeremiah was explaining, that no one will need to say, know the Lord. That each one will know him from the least to the greatest. That is, I've planted something inside them. Are you getting what I'm saying? You are getting my point? And that if you believe that thing will always speak up under those circumstances. Are you following me? All right, so what we want to see today, continue from where we stopped last week. Well, I think let me start by reading from, or let me continue by reading Deuteronomy chapter 2. If you have your Bibles, quickly open it to Deuteronomy chapter 2. Now, I want to just use this to illustrate a point. Moses was describing what happened to them at the end of their journey. He said, verse 1, then we turned and set out for the wilderness by the way to the Red Sea, as the Lord spoke to me, and circled, notice these words, and circled Mount Seir for many days. And the Lord spoke to me, saying, you have circled this mountain long enough. Now turn to the north. Turn north, my Bible says. King James uses the word turn northward. Now that's what I want to explain. He said, you have circled this mountain long enough. Now, turn towards the north. If you read the context, he told them, you are around Mount Seir. I will not give you any part of Mount Seir for a possession. I have given it to the children of Esau. Are you getting my point? Now, the blessing that you have according to that covenant that he had with Jacob, is better than the one that the children of Esau are getting. Do you understand my point? Say, don't even covet their land. You just go on to your own. There's something I'm coming to. Just note that. Now, in that same context, just go further down to verse 24. He said, don't covet the land of the, the Moabites. He now got down to verse 24. He said, arise, set out. Now, between the beginning and where we are right now, he has been describing where they shouldn't take, where they shouldn't go to, and how those other people got the land that they are in. And the same principle he was going to use to deliver the land of the Israelites to them. He said in verse 24, arise, set out, and pass through the valley of Arnon. He said, look, I have given Sihon the Amorite, king of Heshbon, and his land into your hand. This is the next thing. Begin to take possession and contend with him in battle. Please, that's all I want to read. Notice what he's saying. He said, I have given this particular land to you. I have given Sihon the Amorite and his land into your hand. Begin to take possession. How do you do that? Contend with him in battle. What I want to bring out here is this. I have explained, you know, the Bible says, we have read that in our previous discussions. It said that the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. We have established the fact that God's order is that of profiting. God's order is that of increase. But God now said something. Remember, we're talking about John the Baptist and his encounter, or the encounter of his messengers with the Lord Jesus Christ. When they came to him, he said, are you the one to come, or we are to expect another? And he said, notice something. The poor, the poor have the gospel preached to them. That is, I don't deliver money like that to the poor. What do? I deliver a gospel, and by process of inward transformation, they get the ability to get wealth. Are you getting my point? If you go and read what he said in Deuteronomy chapter 8, he said, it is the Lord thy God that is giving you. I noticed that he didn't say give, that gave you. He said that is giving, constantly delivering to you the ability to create wealth. Now, notice what I'm saying. That is, you don't just go and take wealth. What do? You have an ability to take it, to get it, to create it. I'm explaining something here. That is, what God gives is the ability. Now, you can have the ability and bury it like a talent. And go around complaining that the nation is bad. Nobody's helping me. You know, this is just by the way. Let me just say this again. I like to tell people. Nobody... Now, as far as you are concerned, nobody has the assignment of helping you as his reason for existence. Now, as far as you are concerned. Now, as far as you are concerned also, you can decide that it is your assignment to help people. But please, don't ever think, people are supposed to help me. That's what causes offense a lot of times. No, really. But how far business now are? You know, that's my cousin. Just leave him. I have left him alone for now. That guy is a useless person. Why is he useless? You needed 100,000 naira to bring new consignment of your goods, and the man didn't give you. That made him useless. Something's wrong with you. That is, the guy has no problem. It is you that have a problem. Look, you have to understand this. I'm not saying people don't help people. No, that's not the point I'm making. But please, as a person, stop thinking you're anybody's project. You know, like, this one I want to marry now. So all my friends will gather together and contribute money. All right. Now, I'm trying to explain something to people here. That, see, it is nobody's assignment to make you succeed in life. I've seen people say it like that. Talk to somebody once. Say, that one, I have left him. He said he will help me. Do you know till now he has not done anything? I was looking at it. So you are waiting till he does something before your life begins to make progress. Okay. You go wait for long. He said, what to the one who trusts in flesh? You have never heard of that? It is a matter of woe to be waiting for somebody to help you. I thank God for the life of especially Bishop David Oyedepo. He taught me very strongly in that area. I'm one person, you know, the way God has helped me is that if I want to do something, I start doing it. I don't call anybody. Now, if you like what I am doing, you come here and come and join me in what I am doing. But some say, do you know why we are not doing what we are supposed to do? All of you are not cooperating. In any time somebody starts talking like that, I tell him, I say, listen, did he discuss with anybody? Did we have a consensus? Did we vote that this is what you should be doing with your life? Even if we advised you, we never said we'll be the ones to support it. No, do you get the point I'm making? No, it's important you get this into your heart. Let it settle. In life, that's how you will succeed without being offended. Because offense is a very terrible thing. The people will go around, this man didn't help me, this man didn't help me. I like the story of this man, John Johnson, I think that was his name, the man, the founder of Ebony. The 50th anniversary of Ebony. In his speech, he said he wants to thank three people that made it possible for him to be the sole owner of Ebony of Johnson Publications. The sole owner, nobody sharing it with him. It's his personal property. He said, we'll not mention their names. But what happened? He said they were the three people he approached to put money down for the business, and they all said no. 50 years afterwards, he said he wants to thank them for making it possible for him to be the sole owner of this business. That is, if he had put, they had put in the required amount he asked for, he would have owned a quarter of the business. When everybody refused, he got up. I'm talking about Settling Monsieur. We're going to get there. And when everybody refused, he talked to his mother. Can I use your furniture as collateral to borrow money? So he used his mother's furniture as collateral to borrow, I think, $500. Yes. And started printing, was it Jet? Started with one, anyway, a black consciousness magazine to give his purpose. He wasn't trying to make money. That's interesting. I've said this thing about life. Just go around trying to make an impact in your generation, being a light to your world. He said what he was trying to do was to bring pride to the average black man. So the idea of back behind the mag is just tell stories about great things that blacks have done. When you are owing money, you start becoming innovative. Nobody agreed to sell it. It's a black mag. Nobody agreed to sell. So the office where he worked, he persuaded his friends, please, on your way home, go to every vendor you see and ask for this magazine. I'm not saying buy. Just go and ask. So as they were going, they would go, do you have this? No. So imagine everybody asking from the same man for the same man. So next week, the vendor agreed to take it, that this thing must be selling. Are you getting the point? At the end of the day, his man is late now. The company is worth billions of US dollars. He was awarded the other day as the greatest minority entrepreneur of all time in the United States. Are you getting my point? Him and Henry Ford, being another category, and Mary Kay Ash, being the greatest female entrepreneur of all time in the United States. Because three people said, no, we don't believe in what you are doing. I guess maybe some people needed to hear this because that's not the main thing we are saying. We are saying that God said, what are we saying? No. We've said many things. Anyway, now, I was explaining something that when you take a matter to God and you stop explaining, like we said, excuses for Satan. You know, what are excuses for Satan? God always needs a reason to bless and Satan always needs a reason to put you in bondage. And every time you are explaining why you are not making progress, why you are not going forward, you are cooperating with Satan so that you will never go forward. Oh, but how far? You know, they never give me visa for the last 5 years. So that's why I've not done anything. Satan said, yes, that's why you haven't done anything. So between you and Satan, you agree. Say, join hands, let us agree, Satan and I will not do anything if they don't give me a visa. Satan said, amen. I have seen this story. This is not a joke. I've seen it again and again. Men who packed their loads, left their wife and their children somewhere, and came to Eleke Christian to come and look for visa. And of course, you know, nobody gives to beggars. You are you getting what I'm trying to say? As long as you come begging them, they won't give you. Somebody said a banker is a man who lends you money when you can prove you don't need it. When you can prove you are not in need of money, then he will lend you money.
I was reading the story of Jimmy Ibrahim. Jimmy Ibrahim, when he started doing business, started Global Fleet, he said banks offered him the loans in banks that he turned down, came together to 16 point something billion naira. That is, they will come. Good morning, sir. Good morning, sir. Please, we have this facility for of 5 billion naira for you to do this and do that. The man said, sorry, I have too much loan right now. I don't need. He said, Union Bank told him, 1 billion overdraft is yours anytime. Are you getting my point? That is, whether he has money in that bank or not, once they need money, they just sign a check for 500 million naira and they don't have to discuss with anybody. And you just present the check. And they say, Global Fleet, no problem. They will just pay overdraft 1 billion. That is, they are sure he does not need money. Now, we may look at it. You know, let me tell you something about life. A lot of the principles in life appear unfair. But Jesus, especially when Jesus said like this, to him that has, will more be given. Then the guy who ain't got at all, even the little he was imagining that belonged to him, they take it and give it to the guy who's got plenty. How unjust can it be? But what Jesus was saying, in effect, that we don't give you because you need, we give you because you are able to handle. Are you getting my point? Nobody gives to you because you need. I like when I was reading the story of that man, Jimmy Ibrahim. He explained some principles there. Do you know how he started Global Fleet? Because he was campaigning as governor of Ondo State to become governor, and he had projects he wanted to do in Ondo State so that the state would become more economically vibrant. So he lost the election. I said he went to recover from all the campaign and all the activities towards the election in the U.S. He went to the U.S. to go and relax. And then an idea came to him. If you are so sure it will work, why don't you do it? So the man got to start doing it. Buying up filling stations. What he wanted to do was to have filling stations all over on just every local government. We have a number of them. So when he didn't win the election, he started doing it for himself. Are you getting my point? I don't want to bore you with his story. It's a very interesting story. But I like to use that to challenge people. Let me just tell you a bit of the story. The man said he wanted to build filling stations all over the country. Then he realized that it was cumbersome building because you needed two men. You first have to buy the land, get permits, get local government permits, then get an NPC to agree or whoever is the regulatory body and all that. So the man said, okay, let's do it like this. Just buy from those who already have all of that. Like one of my friends said, of course, it's those who are not making money that we quickly sell. That means you buy them cheap. So the man had a project, buy 30 a year.
Yeah.
So it was going to come to about 2 every month on the average. So he approached the bank, please. So these are projects. Very nice. So they gave him money, 500 million naira. Then the thing was going so far. Then the banks noticed that, we can be renting from this guy for our branch offices. He said, on some of those projects, after buying one particular filling station, instantly he makes half of the money back by leasing just a part of it to a bank to build a branch. That instantly, you buy it for 30 million naira. By the following week, you've collected 15 million naira back. Let me just add this quickly. He said one thing. He said that you get that integrity is very important. That they give you stuff because they believe, that is, they trust you. People like him don't need collateral anymore. Once they hear, his name is collateral. You get my point? His name is collateral. Now, are you getting what I'm trying to say? Now, the point I'm making here is, let's go back to what we're saying. He said, begin to contend. Yes, that's where I was. He said, begin to contend in battle. That is, what God gives is the power, the ability to get wealth. And he's saying, in effect, if you read, I don't have time to be quoting all the scriptures or going through them. If you read what Jesus was saying, when he was talking about the parable of the talents, is that there are people I have given the ability to get wealth, but what do? They bury it. Are you getting what I'm saying? God said, Jeremiah chapter 8, it is the Lord thy God that has given you the power to get wealth. Even if you don't get the wealth, you will still get the power. You may refuse to use it, you will still get the power. Are you getting my point? That's what he gives. Moses, like I told you, I wanted to use that Moses one to explain a principle. He said, but what do most people do? They circle a mountain constantly and they don't agree to move northward. Let me summarize it. One of the things in Oakland they were discussing last time, if I would do this last week, one of the problems with people is this need for security. Jesus said, this is the description of overcomers, those who don't love their lives unto death. There's a story, one movie I saw some time ago, I don't know the title now. But in the movie, this guy was a very, very powerful swordsman. So, being a broke guy, everywhere he goes, he challenges anybody to a fight. So, usually in the village, you'll bring your best warrior to come and fight him. So, people will put money down. He knew he was good. So, of course, he will fight. He's not intending to injure anybody. But he will fight the best men and dispossess them of their swords. So, one guy who was so good, after this guy, you know, of course, he did everything. The guy would just be done, just with little movement, you know, defeating this guy anyhow. Next thing, he flipped the sword out of his hand. Me, local champion. Where this guy come from? Just dishing me like this. And at the end of the day, I approached the guy and said, oh boy, teach me this thing now. The guy said, no problem. You have to be ready to work very hard. The guy said, I have no problem with that. He gave me a number of criteria. The guy said, no problem. He said, last of all, you must not care whether you lived or died. Tori Queen, because I want to learn sword, I beg. Look, that is life. The guy said, you mustn't care whether you lived or died. Let me tell you something about these things. They are very practical. It doesn't mean that, hey, now I have a suicidal tendency. I should go in front of the road. As any truck come, kill me. I will show you that I don't care whether I lived or died. They will oblige you rapidly. And I hope you don't really care. No, that's not what he's saying. Everything in the scripture is very practical. Are you getting my point? Very, very practical. There's a story I just want to use to illustrate what I'm trying to say. How many of you have ever heard of the, of course, most people must have heard of it, and almost everyone will have seen the film, I'm sure, Titanic, made by James Cameron. You know James Cameron? I don't know the life of James Cameron. I'm not putting a stamp of approval on his whole life, but it's a principle, you know. Jesus will say, take a lesson from the matter of the figs. Now, Titanic, I think as till today, is still the best-selling movie ever made. I don't think any movie has sold more than Titanic. Now, The Passion of the Christ didn't sell as much, just that the profit margin on it was, they made Passion with just about, with less than $40 million. Titanic was made with close to $300 million US dollars. Now, this is what I want you to understand, why I'm talking about not loving their lives unto death. I don't know, I can't remember for sure the name of the company that did Titanic, but James Cameron was the producer director. This guy was spending money. You see that ship that you saw in the film? They built it. It was really built. It's not a computer-generated effect. They really built a ship. And they really sank it. You get my point? They sank. You know that sinking is real. The ship really went down. Now, one of the things that costs most in anything, whether building or movies, is manpower, the people. You know, you pay that number of actors to be inside cold. The water was really cold. One of the things he said, the guy, he's the same guy who did Terminator. You remember Terminator? Now, one of the things he said he did was that the Titanic sailed, and I can't remember for sure now, maybe from the east to the west. But the way they built, because they completed building only one side, for it to be effective, they had to sail from the west to the east. You know, they were going to sail from west to east, but the real Titanic went the other way. Now, my east and west are not accurate, but you are getting the issue. So, they said the man insisted, of course. So what they would do is to revert in the movie. They will use, it's digitally generated. They will revert the, you know, like now. In fact, today I went to take pictures that we took during my son's birthday. And I was telling my wife that they printed it wrongly. So she couldn't understand what I was saying because the children look normal, everything looked normal. I said, look at that Chivita. It's written backwards. Then she got the point. The one I can look took at the back of my car. I said, look at my car number. It's going backwards, 550, looking at an Arabic number. That is, they flipped the film upside down. All right? So they had to do that digitally to get the thing to move from east to west. But you know what that means? Just like my pictures were reading Chivita wrongly, what will be seen will also be wrong. So, naturally, they will now have to write Titanic wrongly. So that when the time they revert it to be proper. Are you getting the point? Now, people didn't mind that. That made sense. Except that they said James Cameron insisted that even the things written on the sacks put on the deck had to be written. They said nobody will notice. They said, man said, it doesn't matter. Now, the guy incurred a lot of cost. I thought the guy has spent money. The movie guys, the movie company guys called him and said, "Oh boy, sorry. You want to wreck this company, eh? We are not doing it again." He said, "Now this one, now listen to this story." The man said, "No, this thing is viable." He tried to persuade him that it's a good movie. I mean, who are all the non-entity actors you are using anyway? Titanic made almost all those actors. They were acting before, but who knew their names until they did Titanic? He tried to persuade them. You know the only reason why they agreed? He said, okay, the guy said, okay, his own cut in the profits, he wants to let go of it. Not loving their lives unto death. That's what I'm talking about. The guy said, look, okay, my own share of the profits, take it. Please, let me finish this film. That I just want to do this film for doing sake. Okay, I will offset it with my own share of the profit. Of course, after the thing did so well, I'm sure they will forget that deal. They will quickly say to the guy, well, are you getting what I'm trying to say? When you talk about not loving their lives unto death. I've said it before, most businesses collapse because if people have no passion for the business, they only have passion for the profit. Are you getting my point? I was telling you stories earlier about the Johnson's man. That he wasn't trying to make money. He just felt bad about something that is going on. Because it's something I want to talk about today, about what I call the stirring of the spirit. Because I quickly searched my Bible for what they call the stirring of the spirit. That when God wants to initiate people into doing things, what he does is to stir their spirits. There are very few people that he comes and said, Moses, turn like this. Moses said, who are you? I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. He never discussed like that with Nehemiah. You know that? What happened with Nehemiah? His spirit was stirred. He just noticed something that was wrong and it stirred his spirit and he was unhappy about it. I've explained before that wealth in life is a reward. That God looks at you and says, you, take money. Take influence. Take power. Be influential. Control billions. It is never by scheming. Listen, if you scheme to get it, you won't live long. I'm not cursing, I'm telling you the truth. You won't. If you appear to be living long, you are going to hell. I don't know why, but you can be sure of that. You're an evil man. No, listen, that's the way it is. What God gives, those who really become influential and blessed by God are just giving it as a reward. That God looks at the passion, the diligence, the faithfulness with which they do what they are supposed to do. Their spirit is stirred up by, you know, like last week we were talking, I gave an example here. That, you know, everybody sits down over dinner, they are eating and drinking and talking about, this is very useless. These people are stupid. Then they talk. Pour some drink for me. Yeah, the country is very bad. Nepal, rubbish. In fact, what the president should do, but he's not doing it. The guy's a goat. They just keep talking. At the end of the day, good night. Amen. We're all useless people. Amen. Praise the Lord. And we go off to sleep. Their spirit is stirred up. Nobody does anything. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Look, I said something about Mount Seir. The problem with people is that they love what? Security. No man who loves security makes it in life. Are you getting my point? There must be people that don't love their lives unto death. You know most people we like? It's a government job. Say, you know, at least that one there's pension. There's gratuity. That one is better now. He said, but this one, I said, no, you know, government, no defeat. You know, when I go and talk to your parents, you understand what I'm saying? It is still a strong mentality in their minds. That is, they feel safer if your job is with government. They feel very happy with you, that you're a good person, but they don't understand that they are agreeing with you that you will be mediocre. You will never be outstanding. Why? Because of pension. Look, it's been a while that God has been teaching me. You understand my point? One thing that has never crossed my mind in my plotting is pension. I feel pension is for poor people. Now, I don't mean that you don't have any money. I mean that mentally, you are not influential. You are not a powerful person. Do you get my point? And you know Nigeria right now, Nigeria decided that we can't keep paying pension. You have to save money for your own pension. You know that's the thing now. Not like before that government would just drill oil, sell it. Then who are the old people who used to work for us? They put up their hands. And they said, you know, I was reading paper again yesterday about people who collapse waiting for their pension. I said, that is not an evil thing. That is, the people who are making them collapse are evil. But the general principle of life is that if you have to wait for pension, you will have to collapse once in a while. I'm telling you the truth. He said, just wait. You know, government, there is security. Listen, let me tell you here. There is no security anywhere but in God. People say, you know, governments go bankrupt. You don't know that? Governments can go bankrupt. They won't pay. People talking about pension. I've always thought that pension. The Bible said about the righteous man that he will be fruitful in old age. Are you getting my point? It has never crossed my mind that I will be waiting for the end of the month for somebody to pay me pension. No. It's a bad thing. It's an evil thing that I have seen under the sun. No, I'm telling you. I will not plot my life at this age for pension. No, I'm telling you. You know, I told you that. I went to the bank again last week. And my friend, the bank said, I'm still waiting for you. I said, for what? He said, the account for your children. I said, come. Savings account for my children, for their future. I said, no. I said, you don't get the point. Their future is guaranteed. I'm their father. That's all they need. He said, okay, not their future. Okay, I know. Okay, their education. I said, I can pay. Don't worry. I said, I can pay. I never can tell. Your children need to go abroad. I said, if they need to, God forbid, bad thing, my children don't need to go abroad for education. Listen, they will be educated where I live. You get my point? Not sending my child to any abroad. Listen, if I give birth to Peking right now, you are going to Esut or you are going to UNEC. Don't even dream about going abroad. It has nothing to do with whether I have money or not. Tony Blair's wife delivered in a general hospital. That how can you say? That's what he was saying. How can you know? Forget our country. If Tony Blair's wife mistakenly delivered in a private hospital, he's done. That you are saying that the National Health Insurance Scheme you preside over does not work. That's what you are saying. So the woman had to deliver in a general hospital. Take care like everybody. They can, if they like, get the best obstetricians there, but it must be a general hospital. That is me. Listen, Akinwunmi Olubenga, when you grow up, I'm not sending you to Harvard for anything. I have to show people that God is not a Harvardian. You understand what I'm saying? Are you getting my point? That God can make a man who never went to school become something. I do not have any faith in Harvard. I have only my faith is placed in God. Do you get my point? No, I'm telling you the truth. What am I doing with it? Look, I'm not saying Harvard is bad. But we need to stop circling around that Monsieur. We have been moving around Monsieur. You must go to Harvard. You must go to Cambridge. What's going on? What is it? Listen, go to Harvard, come back. We that went to Esut and UNEC will give you job. We will give you job. Yes, sir. So what do you say you can do? You say, yeah, you're a consultant in this area. Good, come and consult for us. How much do you want? We'll pay you. BSc, UNEC. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Yes, I mean, look, listen. You don't bamboozle me with bringing degree from. Look, listen. Bring your degree from Rwanda. If God says bring your certificate and place His hand upon it. That just by the way. So I was saying, look, listen. Future for my children? No. How can the bank be saying 5,000 naira for me, black, banking? No. I'm a blessed man. No, I'm telling you the truth. Because by the time they are growing, you understand my point? I will be paying as God lives. No exaggeration. Hundreds of people will be feeding at my table and I'll be paying their fees. So I need to save from now for my own children. Like Bishop used to say those days, the pipe carrying water must never complain of thirst. It's forbidden. Everybody's coming to fetch water from you and you are saying you are thirsty. You decrease? You follow what I'm going to say? No, I believe that so strongly. I'm not saying saving is bad. No, but you see, I'm not afraid of the future because, in fact, I told you before that more people die yearly from mistakes of doctors than die from trying to trust God to get their healing. You know that? In the same manner, more people get frustrated after putting their investment in a particular place than get frustrated by just trusting in God and working with God. Do you understand the point I'm making? So Moses said, God told us, we have circled this Monsieur long enough. He said, now turn northward. What I'm saying is that I'm using that as an illustration of what people call security. This is where the thing is happening from. They don't want to leave. Meanwhile, God is stirring their spirits. Do you understand my point? God is stirring their spirits. You know, I was into the tape you gave me with this guy, Philadelphia, to you. One of the main messages he preached. Talking about when he walked, he felt stirred in his spirit. Let me just say this again. Let me, before I go on with the story. Most of the time when God wants to come across to you in life, listen to this, all he will do is to stir you up in your spirit. That is all. All this, my children, my son, my daughter, thou shalt arise and break through. Most of it, believe me, is your imagination. Let me say it again. I don't care who tells me that, you know, what God has been telling me recently, as you are saying it, I'm just looking at you like this. The proof, eventually, whether God told you, is when you've done it, let's see how it works. And even then, I won't quote that God told you. It's your, you know, I keep on saying it, it's your personal problem. So, if you are, listen, I'm one person that believes very strongly that there's nothing wrong with Kingsley going to tell a young woman that God told me to marry you. There's nothing wrong with it though. In case you're hearing, you can go and tell a woman that God told you to marry her. But realize one thing, is your personal problem. So, my message to the young woman that get told is that don't mind the guy. He's his personal problem. If he's sure that God told him, no problem. Then you decide whether you like him. If you don't like him, God didn't tell him anything. But if you like him, and you gel with him, and you finally marry him, then God indeed tells him. No, I'm telling you the truth. No, go and read it now. Jeremiah. He said, God told him that, buy this land. Your cousin will come and this and this. He said, and the man came. Then I knew that God indeed spoke to me. So, guys, feel free. God can tell you. Go and tell. So you're sitting in the morning. Tell the one on the left that God told you. Tell the one on the right God told you. You can scatter your seed that God told you. That's your personal issue. Are you getting my point? The one, when we will know that God really told you. You've heard my story before. A brother told me that, did God say anything to you about your wife? I said, he did. He said, how did he say it? I said, the officiating minister said, I pronounce you man and wife. That's how God talked to me about my wife. He prophesied and said, I hereby pronounce you man and wife. I said, you have well said. That's why I'm here. Are you getting my point? Listen, what God does most of the time is to stir up your spirit. Are you getting my point? Now, let me even use that wife thing as an example. There was no day I dreamt and the Lord said, ah, see that girl coming down from Oroboland. Yes. As she's approaching, stretch forth your hand. There was nothing like that. I just saw a woman one day say, hello, sir, can I talk to you? I said, no problem. And when she finished talking to me and she was about to leave, I said, just a minute. That's in my, then my spirit was stirred up. I said, fine, girl. The only thing I heard from God was fine, girl. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I can't remember God saying anything more than that. In my spirit, I heard the words, fine, babe. So I said, excuse me. What did you say your name was? He said, Ufoma. I said, yeah, what does Ufoma mean? He said, it means the peace of God. All right. We'll see you around. Anyway, that's how we got to where we are today. The stirring of the spirit. Are you getting my point? That is, look, every day in life, you know, there are people, and you know, the interesting thing, I can't describe this to you, really. I can't say more than that. That God will stir up your spirit. Okay, I was telling a story earlier. That a man said one day he just felt like God was leading him to leave the company where he was and start his own company. And he obeyed the prompting. And as is usual with such people, you have a mad woman also to agree with you that the two of you, you know, you use your madness to obey something. The room where he and she were sleeping, in the morning they will remove the mattress, put it outside, and arrange table. That's office. At night, they move table and put the mattress back on the floor. Are you getting my point? By the time he was telling the story, I don't know, I've forgotten how many years in between. A short time, though, he said it had reached the point that if you don't come up with half a million naira, he cannot fit you on his agenda as a consultant to big businesses, banks, and all that, speaking, you know, training their people for them, consulting for them. Well, at that time, 15K was good money. They paid him 15K. He readily collected it and thanked the Lord. Are you following the point? But the, why I remember that story was I said that one day he just felt like God was saying, this is the time. Listen, because of our time is really gone now. I will discuss that next time. What God really does is just to stir your spirit. The main thing I wanted to say today, we've not even developed on this matter of fear. All right? Okay, maybe next time we'll continue on it. Because the problem with people is that at such times, what starts speaking to them is the story, is that story again and again. That's why it's in the scriptures. If it is you, Lord, bid me come. And the Lord says, come. And like T.D. Jakes said, he never says more than come. He doesn't tell you, I'm using T.D. Jakes' words now, he won't tell you that, ignore the fish swimming around your near your toes. They will not bite you. I am the Lord thy God. He will not tell you that the waves might move, but you don't worry about the waves. I am the Lord thy God. He will not tell you that your heart might fear. But listen, all those things are documented in the scriptures. Better go and read it. All he will tell you is what? Come. Afterwards, he will ignore you entirely. The wind will blow like this. The Lord go, they look. Fish go, you know, fish will snap at your toes. he won't do anything. The only time he will stretch his hand is when you're about to sink and die. And then only because you shout. If you don't shout, he will talk to the other disciples. In memory of our beloved Peter, who was committed to this ministry, who gave his life. You had better shout, otherwise nobody's delivering you. Are you getting what I'm going to say? That all he says is what come does not mean there will not be adversity. And let me tell you what Oswald Chambers calls Satan again. What is Satan? Your friends will come and say, oh boy, you decrease. What are you saying? Look at your children now. This girl that I took from my father's house last year. So you want her to come and suffer now? Then your friends will begin to discuss with you. That is when you have to learn the story of David. You go and encourage yourself in the Lord thy God. Do you get what I'm trying to say? All the Lord will say is, come. He stirs your spirit. You know, Kinsley, we were discussing the other day in my house. I said, I noticed something about God. I noticed. It's as if, please, try to understand what I want to say. It's as if he just ignores you to live your life the way you like. He gives you one word and goes away. You know, David was my bad example there. Did you notice that David raised no normal child? Apart, a male child, apart from Solomon. You know, God never even talked to him about it. As Absalom, fine boy. He was just doing fine boy all over Israel. He just fine. His younger brother, who tried to take kingdom before Solomon was now made king. The Bible said that his father had never crossed him on anything. He had never done anything like his father would say, what you did was wrong. Ha! A man after God's heart. God said, yes, I know. But it's like, I didn't use to discuss anything with him. If you don't train your child, I won't come and say, Slayo, Slayo, that has not corrected Junior this morning. You see? It's your problem. When Junior grows old and when he gives you mental problem with his bad behavior, is your, no, I gleaned that thing from scriptures. When Solomon was marrying women, did God talk? God gave him wisdom, and then he shut up. Solomon will look at Egyptian chick. I don't know. I'm a kingo. Egyptian girl say, no problem, sir. Marry that one, put her on join. The Lord didn't come and say, Solomon, what thou doest is not good. At the end, all kinds of women that he gathered ran him into trouble. The Lord didn't appear to him in a dream, saying, seeing that thou art my beloved servant, the son of my beloved David, let me warn you. No. A man married all the women. The women killed him. You know that? And God never said anything. That is after God stirs your spirit. Is your problem. And at the end of the day, if you don't do anything, you are judged for bearing a talent. Are you getting my point? Let me tell you something about Satan. You know what he tries to do? This is the assignment of Satan in life. Try to persuade you that you can't do it. It doesn't do more than that. Eat fruit now. He said, they said we shouldn't eat. He said, God knows that if you eat. Let me tell you this. I know what I'm saying. I've eaten it before. Then he just throws everything that God has said behind. Then once you are able to doubt God, you eat anything. Once you can doubt God, and that's what Satan does. So you know this country is bad. Yes, so. It's bad. He starts telling you stories. Of course, I told you Satan is not a spirit. Satan is what? A person. According to Oswald Chambers, what I mean, Satan is your friend, your father. I'm sorry, your mother. Sometimes, your pastor. Satan comes in all kinds of ways. People who really love you, their middle name sometimes is Satan. That is why Jesus looked at Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan." That is Peter, Satan, Kephas, or Simon, Satan, Peter. What I mean is that people will be giving you sound counsel. You know, your cousin that went abroad, he has built a house for his father now. Can't you see? Then they start explaining. If you quote the scripture, you have come again. This is your Christianity. Once they make that statement, know you're on the right track. Narrow is the road that leads to life. And there are very few that find it. That is, it's often obscure. Most people cannot locate it. Listen, once they persuade you, with all the faith in you, you will buy a visa. I'm telling you. I have seen men of faith. Their name was Jonathan Odu last time you saw them. Professing faith and preaching under anointing. Next time you see him, you see Elias. You know all kinds of names from Niger of all countries. And they tell you that wisdom is profitable to direct. You know, the first thing, Satan took away their faith. And once the faith is gone, the guy will do anything. I've seen men who taught scripture on campus marry Hungarian women. That is, I said, this guy, I knew him now. When I was in school, I remembered him. Next I knew. So the guy, where is he? He's in so-and-so country. Where? He do contract marriage, marry one white woman. I'm not saying white women are bad, though. But you know what I'm going to say? That is, when I knew this guy in school, it was faith that they were preaching and people like me were listening. Once Satan takes away your faith, you are capable of anything. 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 All Satan does is first take away the faith. Fear. The man wants to circle Mount Seir. He said, this is where security. Like I told you, we don't have time. Next time we'll go into that. That's what I want to discuss today, but I hope you've learned a thing or two. Are you getting my point? Satan, all he wants to do is take away your faith. And once he takes away faith, the sons of Ephraim, though they were armed, in the day of battle, they will turn back and break the covenant of their God. Are you getting my point? They were armed. That is, God had given them the power to get well. God said, begin to contend in battle. So he said, you have circled the security zone long enough. Begin to move northward. They said, you know, at least you are sure of your pension. Are you getting my point? Like they say, the good is the enemy of the best. So that's security. I like one thing my pastor said in that tip I'm recommending to all of you. He said, this is the goodness of God. I told you about Jacob and God. If God loves Jacob, God will get Jacob. You understand my point? Sometimes people get sacked from, that is, after their security is established, then one day they will accidentally, maybe they are coming to work. They're supposed to sign in. And that day he came at 8:30. And he didn't know, because normally he comes at 7:30 every day. So unconsciously he writes 7:30. He wasn't trying to lie. And then somebody says, sir, this man, and then they sack him. People say that these people are wicked. I've told you, wickedness is not your problem. God said, the people cry out because of the arm of oppressors. Yet I don't listen to such cries. They are empty cries. They are cries of wicked men. Said, because they did not say, where is God my maker? The story of New Elikia Kenam illustrates that point very well. He said, in Observer, he was an editor in Observer. He had a call to ministry, and he kind of had an agreement in his heart. He was going to work in Observer for 2 years and then go into ministry. At the end of 2 years, the job was good. So he continued circling Mount Seir. And then, Miriam Babangida came to Benin. 6 months after 2 years. And he was the editor. And they took a photograph of Miriam. He was not a photographer. He was not a reporter. He was just the editor-in-chief or whatever. And they published that picture of Miriam Babangida. And the governing board said the photo is not fine. And they fired him. Did you hear that? Okay. How stupid on earth can an excuse to fire a man get? They said the picture was uncomplimentary to the first lady. Therefore, we will not sack the photographer. We will not sack the reporter. We shall sack the editor. It was big news in the country that time. Because even Miriam Babangida issued a statement. Like Pilate, I have no hands in the sacking of this man. You know, that's what Pilate said about Jesus Christ. She washed her hands publicly and said, please, oh, I'm not aware of the photograph. I did not order him sacked. I'm serious. She made that statement. NUJ in Benin, they went to court. This is injustice. And of course, the judge too agreed it is injustice and ruled that he should be reinstated. And he was never reinstated. I heard a story from his mouth when he came to preach in my alumni convention. He said he, in his heart, he knew what was going on. He just carried his Bible, went to William's Chapel, and said, Bishop, any job for the boys? Bishop made him the director of their Bible school. There was a point in time when I think the head of Dominion Publishing House, like that, like he worked there for some time, was teaching in Bible school. They now came to Asaba and founded the Faith Liberation Ministry. Doing very well. That is, God said, Jacob, you will see, I'll get you. And he just toppled the cart. But he was good, unlike Uzzah. You know, remember the death of Uzzah? The Uzzahs that tried to stop the correction of God, they die in the process. We'll continue on this matter next time. Our time has really gone. Let us pray.